Are you seeking thrilling tales of adventure and superheroics? Do you crave the weekly drama of teenage hijinks and high school angst? Then don't miss the next issue of These Protean City Comics. This issue featuring...
It's Puck, the Doom Trickster. You're not going to remember me.
I'm Alina. The rest is need to know.
Windshear, full of hot air and out of time.
Now with our heroes assembled, let's turn the page on this issue of Protean City Comics.
This is Volume 10, Heroes Lost and Found. Issue number 3, That's What Heroes Do. On the cover, Windshear lays in a large, comfortable bed. Three small robots curl up like dogs beside him and help fill an indent in the bed where another person is clearly missing. Crumpled in his hand, you can read a note which says, "Took Nacho for a walk. Such a beautiful day. Love you. R."
To recap, Arcana, John, and Windshear have been pulled through a tear in reality and have ended up in Center City, Protean City, 2018, exactly the universe and time that
they
left.
As far as we know.
It is nighttime, but as you hit the ground, you see that there are Protean City police kind of swarming around the area. They don't necessarily see you, but they are kind of around. Something has happened and they're swarming.
So Windshear is in... So this is young Windshear. Mm-hmm. And he is in his full Windshear costume with the exception of his mask.
Keeping in mind everything that just happened to young Windshear. That all happened within a matter of seconds.
Yeah. Well, he was already like that. And he's got the mask in his left hand as he punches. I guess because John, you're still not in costume. He's going to punch John in the face as hard as he possibly can.
Okay. In that moment before that universe ended, he just saw you... was hit by the wave of memories from Federico, acted to save you, because John's savior is like super crazy high right now. And I think it's the only,
same.
It's the only, outside of Freak, it's the only positive label he has.
Your stats are insane.
And so he just acted on instinct, jumped up, grabbed you, landed, was grabbed by Arcana, and then was pulled back into his own dimension. Mm-hmm. So he didn't think that through. He wasn't intentionally trying to bring you with him.
Yeah.
He was just like, acting.
I don't think anybody had a chance after hitting the ground to think of a new thought.
Okay.
It's just that Windshear's thought was already, I'm going to punch this guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I think in the panel we've even got, like, he still has the crumpled note in his hand.
Oh, yep.
Yeah.
And, like, he's got the big air fist around it and just crushes it into Puck's chin.
So take that powerful blow.
7, 8, 9, 10.
Makes sense.
Oh, jeez.
Yowza.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Why you do this to
on me? A 10 plus, choose one. You must remove yourself from the situation, flee, pass out, you lose control of yourself or your powers in a terrible way, or two options from the 7 to 9 list.
I think I'm going to take 2 from the 7 to 9 list, and I'm going to struggle past the pain to mark 2 conditions. I'm going to mark angry and insecure. And I'm also going to give Windshear ground and give him an opportunity.
I think that's going to give us like a good like standing panel that shows Windshear just like having a hold on the neck of your hoodie and just like glaring down at you and going, "You killed them. You took them from me."
I would like to intervene at this moment.
So you're trying to get me to not hit John, right?
Right.
That sounds to me like provoking.
Okay.
I was going to say, or unleashing your powers. It depends on what you're trying to do.
Oh, right. You might be holding me.
Mm-hmm. I'm basically just inserting myself in between them and saying, all right, I'm going to need you guys to ratchet it down, way down. And then I'm just going to give Windshear a little push back. Not enough to actually be hostile or perceived as continuing a fight, but just moving him out of the personal space. 9.
On a 7 to 9, choose one. If they do it, add a team to the pool. If they don't do it, they mark a condition.
I choose adding team if he does back down.
Okay.
Cool.
I feel like I'm not on your team.
Yeah, no.
I'm sorry. And so I think I'm going to basically just like kind of roughly throw John to the ground and like take like 3 steps back and then just like hold up my hands and have like just the air forming around them and just go, "You're telling me to stand down. After what you just saw, he just dragged me away from my wife, from my kid, from my family. Your world didn't just end."
As you're hovering up and getting real angry, the police definitely see you now. And yeah. they're gonna show up. And the cops get out of the car, and the first two out are the same ones that you guys have dealt with before, definitely at the jail the last time you saw Windshear. And so they recognize you right away and decide to hunker on your side of the confrontation to give you backup. And they get out of the car, they open the car door, and they're like using it as a shield and looking up. And one of them turns to you and says, "Is that Windshear?"
"It's a long... long story."
And they're going to get a megaphone out and they're going to shout to Windshear, "Who are you?"
And he just like glares at them and just puts his hands up and says, "Look, no trouble here, officers. Things are handled. I'm Windshear. I'm keeping everybody safe. Three of us just went through a thing and we're working it out, okay? Just working it out."
And they're going to yell back at you, "Okay, buddy, you're no Windshear. Who are you really?" And they're adjusting your labels.
Okay.
They are saying they're moving down your savior and up your danger.
Okay. I'll accept that. Yeah.
So after that happens, mm-hmm. Puck is going to stand up from the ground. And he has his mask on. And he's going to walk over to the police officers. "Don't worry, officers. That is not Windshear. Don't worry about it. You can guys can go home. We have this under control. We will help this man. He's very confused. But it's nothing. He's nothing to be afraid of. And we will take care of this."
Are you talking to him or are you affecting him?
I'm just talking to him. Okay. I actually think I might be provoking him.
Yes, so that's what I was going
to
ask.
Them to leave, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm going to have you roll to provoke. That's an 11. So this is an NPC. They rise to the bait and do what you want.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to say, "Okay, we're still going to have to call it in. We're here investigating some weird tornado vortex thing that was spotted off the coast, and we haven't seen it since. Have you seen it?"
No, I've been busy, but I can look into it.
"Well, we're going to hit the road then. We're going to leave him with you, and we'll just keep this between each other." And he like reaches out his hand to give you a handshake.
Yeah, and Puck is going to just salute him and then turn around.
And he's going to like awkwardly salute because that's not a thing police officers do, but he like feels like he should because you just did it.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to get back in his car and sort of send word to the troops like, "Okay, round them up, move them out. We're good." And the cops sort of dissipate.
And so Puck is going to turn around and look at Windshear. And he's going to look at him. Is he still hovering or is he floating or is he just standing?
No, he's got like his hands are he's got like his hands are fists and like the artist has really drawn like the veins and the tendons really going.
Yeah.
And he's definitely at this point just starting to just cry without changing his face.
Okay.
Like he's keeping his face steady.
Yeah.
And he just like is just glaring daggers at you.
Yeah. And so Puck walks back to him and he's just gonna say, "Look, man, I didn't end that world. The purple, the lavender suited man, that thing ended the world. But if you need to punch me to feel better, then like we can keep doing that. But like I saw an opportunity. I saved you from falling. Someone saved me from the universe. But like I know what being doomed and is like.
Are you
comforting
or supporting right now?
Yeah,
we're gonna roll for that.
Six.
So you're trying to comfort and support him, and you're having this like really grounded attempt at a heart to heart with you, and Windshear sort of just collapses and like falls backward and is just like on the ground, having a moment, crying, thinking, wailing, whatever he wants to do, or just like being upset, however that's expressed for Windshear. And
yeah, I think he like drops to his knees,
mm-hmm.
and is just like grabs onto Puck's like pant leg and is just like very still, and he asks, "Can you send me back?"
There's nothing to go back to.
I don't think back exists.
No, you went there. You went there from here. Can you send me back? Send me back to when you came in or before that?
No. I'm sorry.
Do you know that?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
And we get a panel of this sort of situation right now as it stands. We have Arcana standing, kind of looking at Windshear with pity and, you know, just general sadness at the whole situation. Puck is standing really close to Windshear, and Windshear is just holding on to his pant leg like as if it's his anchor to the reality. And you're still in the middle of city center. So you have City Hall behind you and two big flagpoles. One holds the flag of Protean City and one holds the flag of Striped Eagle, and they're blowing in the wind.
Puck looks up and he sees the flags flying and he thinks about his life a lot. And he puts a hand on Windshear's shoulder and he says, "I can try." And he is going to focus really hard and try to open a portal to that world, mm-hmm. which doesn't exist anymore.
Right.
And there's like a moment where behind him, the world, like the reality ripples like it normally does before he opens a portal. Cause like there's always this moment where like, there's like that heat shimmer that ripples and then the world tears open. And in the moment just before it would tear, we get a panel that cuts back to probably a black and whitey version of the scene of Puck and Chance in Chance's memory.
Mm-hmm.
And Puck is just like overcome with that, like the like sickening feeling of like knowing that Jack is like there and that the trickster is watching him. And like all of that just sort of feels terrible inside him. And he is going to just like double over and probably throw up on the street and not be able to open the portal.
You didn't open the portal, but is the attempt enough to mark a doom sign? I don't know.
I don't know, because the reason you couldn't mark a portal is...
Yes. The reason I can't mark a portal or open a portal is because during my last advancement, erased that doom sign. So that's a power that John doesn't have anymore.
I'm gonna say that you take a powerful blow for that.
Okay.
Yeah.
4, 5, 6... 7, 8, 9, 10.
You either must remove yourself from the situation, flee or pass out, lose control of yourself or your powers in a terrible way, or two options from 7 to 9.
Yeah, so John is just like sort of hit by that like sweet, sickening, just like the feel of the gaze of the trickster on him. Mm-hmm. And he, like I said, he doubles over and just throws up and is just like, I'm sorry. I can't. And he's just going to like brush Windshear off of him and leap up onto the top of the building that's like adjacent to them. Mm-hmm. And then just like keep leaping between buildings and just, he's gonna go back. He's got to get back to his sanctuary and hide and just like curl up and not be here.
Okay. And Alina.
So stunned is a word I would use. And conflicted to describe what Alina's going through right now or what she's feeling. She really wants to go after John, but she also knows that there is a class D 41A situation, a temporal disturbance, and that needs to be dealt with very carefully because not only is he from a different time, he's also from a different universe. So who knows what he's going to affect. So she's going to call the asset.
Yeah.
Dad.
And I think during the phone call, we get like a couple of panels of Windshear just like staying kneeling on the ground with just like his hands just on his knees, like looking at the floor.
I'm getting the impression that Windshear is both physically and emotionally spent.
He has done some, like if he had to, he could get up and do things.
Right.
But why? For now, he's
yeah
looking at the ground.
Hey, it's me.
Hey, Alina, it's late. Are you okay?
I'm fine. Physically, but can you come get me?
Sure. Where are you?
I'm right across from town hall.
Cool.
I've got company, so don't bring your motorcycle.
Okay. And you hear him like hold the receiver away from his mouth just a little bit, and he's like, wake up. Dewey, wake up. We gotta go. Okay, be there in a minute. And click.
We get a panel that shows him looking at the ground, and like his shoulders are starting to move a little bit, just like those racks of emotion going through him.
Mm-hmm.
And then his mouth opens and he just, your friend just almost opened a hole in space. This is a thing you can do.
Listen. John is very private. Before we go through any of this, I need you to understand that what you saw was a hero named Puck who has certain abilities that were bestowed on him by a primeval force.
And he stands up at this point and he like... His costume is just all messed up. He ran through glass. He ran through some bushes and things to get to the park. He's been kneeling on the ground in Dirty City, but he just has this totally incongruous grin on his face, and he says, "You don't understand. He can make a hole. He can make a way to get there." Which means we can go back. I don't care where his powers come from. I don't care if his powers come from the damn devil. There is a chance. And he just goes to Alina and just, like, takes her head in his hands for a moment and just goes, I can get back there. And he just, like, kisses her on the forehead and turns around and just, like, has his fists on his head and says, all of this fucked up shit, it's beyond anything, but I can get back, and I'm going to get back, and your friend's going to help me get back.
And at that moment, we hear some helicopter paddles, and we hear the... and the helicopter is kind of hovering above you, and they send down a really awesome ladder that, you know, it's not one of those rickety things, it's like legit. They drop a ladder for you to climb up.
You're still in a poodle skirt.
Yeah, you still look adorbs.
That just occurred to me.
So you're
be going up first.
I was gonna say, Ramon definitely says, like, do you want me to look away, go up first? Are you gonna climb a
go. Go up the ladder.
We're going to do amazing things. And he just grabs onto the ladder and just starts like pulling himself up. His face is still like covered in tears, but he has turned around. He climbs right on up there.
Okay. And Alina, I'm sure, follows.
Yes.
And once we get up into the interior of the helicopter, Ramona is kind of looking around wide-eyed and like, what the actual hell? Like looking around, there are all kinds of buttons and knobs and lights and speakers and things that you've never seen. And there, you can't see any wires.
He's
and
touching things too.
There's no antennas. Oh God, I'm sure you're touching things. And Alina gets up the ladder and shuts the hatch behind her, and she sees you touching all this stuff.
Man, I've never flown before.
Well, this is a special treat. I'm so relieved that he seems to be like distracted.
Yeah.
And even though I know it's short-lived, I'm just going to let him have this distraction for now because it's going to be some peace for both of us.
Yeah.
So I just give
let him play
the asset and Dewey a kiss on the cheek and then settle in and strap in.
All right.
I love this family.
And the asset's going to walk to the back and kind of look at you wide-eyed like a puppy with a new toy looking around the helicopter. And he's going to be like, who's that?
This is Windshear from an alternate timeline.
Cool.
And universe.
Awesome. Makes sense. What do you want to do with him?
Primarily, I want to keep him out of trouble. And I definitely don't want him to meet, you know.
Current. Yeah, cool. So we going home?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so he definitely is like also going to come over to the asset and like have like a big panel where like he's got like a huge speech bubble. Like he's talking very, very loud, but you actually can't read the words because they're so tiny.
They're just blah, blah, blah.
And he's got his hand out and he's like pointing at his head. And then like he clearly, it is so clear that he's pushing down his emotions right now.
Yeah.
Cause like his eyes are just completely red. His face is tear soaked. And like he has to like stop in the middle to like wipe his arm across his face. But he reaches out to shake the asset's hand and like points at Alina. And, like, says something and just sort of, like, gives, like, a nod of, yeah, things are going to be okay.
And the asset's, like, just nodding and saying in the radio to Alina, I don't know what he's saying, but he seems stable. Let's go home. And we're going to jump to Puck. Where are you?
He's going to be at his lighthouse sanctuary.
And what is he doing?
Oh, he is just very upset. there's a whole bunch of old furniture in the lighthouse, just things that like the fairies have grabbed for him and like flown up there or whatever. I don't know. And so he's probably got some old like beat up lazy boy chair that he's just like curled up in, probably mostly passed out, trying to like not feel physically ill.
Okay. And in the background, we're going to get every once in a while one of those little static things out of the corner of your eye, like what you saw in the vortex, but not a vortex. You're just going to see those little bolts kind of around you.
Oh, God.
Every once in a while, just enough so that you can't sleep.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to jump back to Alina's base, and the helicopter is docked. You guys are disembarking. Tell us what we see when you enter your landing pad or base.
Okay, so you see a few different piles of clothing on the floor, on a couch. It's not particularly neat. You don't see, but you hear maybe some clanging from a maybe an unwilling occupant of the base. And so it's dark, but everything is kind of antiseptic almost.
Yeah. Sterile,
yes. And so there's a lot of shiny chrome there's anything that looks like it might be comfortable looks like super out of place. So it's a very eclectic mix of like weird stuff that she's found and devices, and there's lots of technology just scattered everywhere. And the little mini robots, the really dumb robots, are, you know, just sort of like climbing on top of each other and over each other to like say hi. And they just all pool around Windshear's feet and just start like tugging on his costume and like just trying to get the deal.
Who's this? Hey.
He definitely has like an initial clear freak out moment at them. And he looks up and goes, are these dogs? Does your world have metal dogs?
I was really hoping you were going to say, what strange dogs?
No, he knows that like, he knows what dogs look like, mm-hmm. but he's in a new world where mm-hmm. people can rip holes in reality.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay.
Maybe your dogs here are metal. Do you have regular dogs?
Yes, we have regular dogs. We also have, no, just regular dogs. These are robots.
Robots, yeah. All right.
And
cool.
They're
controlled like dogs. By they're for, a computer.
Yeah.
And, oh, God.
Companionship. Computer. No,
yes, they're like very tiny dogs that are metal.
No, I get you.
And sentient.
No, I get you. It's okay.
Okay.
Yeah. And he pets a couple of them. Actually, I think he crouches down on the ground and like gives each of them a pet. And then like walks confidently into your base.
They land and Dewey goes back to bed. He's like not about this life right now. He's tired. And the asset's going to walk over to, you know, like the workstation that's got all the monitors and like communication stuff. And he's kind of just searching communications for Windshear, because I mean, weird stuff happens here, but young Windshear showing up is weird. So he's just like kind of checking the feeds that he still has access to see if there's any sort of notification, like anything he should be looking for. And he comes up on this obscure piece of encoded material. And he sends it through a couple of decoding sensors, and it comes up with a very short message that says, if you have Windshear, bring him to me. -PA.
I'm going to grab a blanket or two, and I'm going to roll one blanket into a pillow because I don't have extra pillows. This is not Versailles. Well, until we figure out what we're supposed to do with you, I guess you can bunk here. Couch is pretty comfy.
And he nods and he says, thank you. I'm just gonna need a little bit of time to get myself on my feet. I don't intend to stay long. We're gonna figure out a way to get me back. And until then, I'll get a job. You know, I can pay my way. I'll be out of your hair in no time. And I'll pay you back rent.
And I look over at the asset. And I kind of waffle as to whether or not I want to let the asset handle this conversation.
And he's going to see the fear and indecision in your eyes. And also you're exhausted. Mm-hmm. And he's like dad mode. Hey, guys, it seems like you've been through some stuff today. So I'm just going to go ahead and suggest we call it a night. Let's go a rest. Your name again, Windshear, is that right?
Windshear.
Windshear.
He gives a look at Arcana, like trying to figure out for a moment. Like, we're now in a very awkward situation that everybody knows exactly who the heck he is.
But
he has no idea.
Yeah.
So he's gonna continue not telling his name. He doesn't have his mask on, but he knows he's just, you know, he's just some kid.
Mm-hmm.
So he, Windshear.
Great. If you want to go have a rest, you are more than welcome. I'm just going to finish up a couple of things with Alina. You know, basic, normal, end of night stuff that we always do.
Yeah.
You can just, why don't you go lay down?
No, yeah, sure.
Relax. Yeah, make yourself comfortable.
Yeah, and then I got to talk to your friend because he can get me back. We're going to get back, all right? And he goes and he, like, goes over to the folded, takes the folded blanket and goes over to the couch to just lie on down. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have a change of clothes, I don't think. So I think he's just going to be cape sleeping.
That's adorbs.
Yeah.
And the asset's going to just kind of look at you and make sure the coast is clear and say, "This mean anything to you?"
Define mean something.
I mean, this seems a little fortuitous. You know, we end up with young Windshear somehow, and then there's somehow somebody knows we have him. Is there anybody that could know we have him?
I mean, the only people who would be able to guess are John and Fracture.
Nobody else saw you?
Nobody who survived.
Okay.
Well, there were some officers where we landed, but they kind of, oh, they did recognize him. But they don't know me.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll just leave this for tonight. Try to go get some rest. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. Just tired and
why don't you get some rest and change out of that delightful get up you got going on there.
I don't know. You're right, and I just
yeah. We get a panel of Alina, you know, headed upstairs with a determined look on her face. This has been a lot to process. We get a panel of Windshear kind of adorably sleeping on the couch, curled up in his cape with like a smile on his face with the note clutched in his hand, mm-hmm. like holding it close to him. And we're going to breeze back to Puck, who I'm sure isn't sleeping.
Yeah, no. But probably the bulk of the sickness from trying to use a power he doesn't really want to, like, he's blocked off, mm-hmm. Has passed. So he's probably now, like, walking around trying to pick up stuff around the lighthouse from when it was all just, like, thrown around. Mm-hmm. And he keeps seeing those little, like, lightning bolty things, like, fuzzes out of the corner of his eye. And I guess he would try to do something to figure out what that is.
Your sanctuary thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You can do sanctuary. Mm-hmm.
What's your sanctuary exactly thing?
We've never used it.
So the way the sanctuary works is it's a place that I have where I can rest, recover, and reflect upon my powers. It has an aid or assistant, locks and traps, a library, and a library of valuable tomes. It is difficult to access, and it is a location known to many because it is a warehouse. It is a lighthouse.
Yeah.
And when I call upon the resources of my sanctuary to solve a problem, say what you want to do, and the GM will give you 1 to 4 conditions you must fulfill to complete your solution. And there's a whole bunch of different things here you can select from.
Ooh, this is cool.
Yeah. But I think that what John is going to try to do now is look through. He has been collecting all of these tomes and books about, like, just from old library sales and stuff like that. And trying to find references to, and a lot of it is like lore books and stuff, because he's been trying to like put together what this trickster is. And so he's been trying to like go through all the different like legends about what the trickster is, like just different trickster legends, to try to like assemble like a coherent story of what it's like, what it is. And so I think what he's going to try to do is flip through those books and see if he can find any pieces of evidence that might like suggest the existence of this end creature. Mm-hmm. And if that might be connected to, or portals that pull people into the past, and try to figure out what this, like, something clearly unhinged our reality a little bit, or, untied or whatever, loosened our reality a little bit. And he, that clearly needs to, it like, it still exists. It like we had said, the police officer said there was some kind of a whirlwind somewhere.
Yeah, out it looked like a sideways tornado from the outside.
And he's thinking maybe that is that something that he can see from where he is? Yeah, they saw it. Yeah. Is that something that John can see?
Not now. It's gone. Oh, it was gone. The vortex.
Okay. Yeah. And so he's thinking maybe I need to, maybe he can find something in those books to find a way to like tamp down that and like protect his reality from whatever is like loosening it.
Okay. I'm going to say one, first you must close the open-ended nature of Windshear being here. You must give him a purpose here so that he is not hopelessly wandering this universe just trying to get back to one that no longer exists. So I'm kind of running this in my head like he's in a time loop, like he's a spirit caught in a time loop, and you have to give him purpose or he will continue to caught in this loop.
And while he's got that desire and that belief that he can make it back, he's probably got like a thread pulling him out of this universe.
Yeah.
Which is a back door that we need to close.
Right. Mm. And you will obviously need help from Alina.
Okay.
To do so. Those are the conditions.
Cool.
We flip the page to a new day. The sun is rising. We see Windshear is asleep on the couch, but this time he's like sprawled out and he's got a bunch of metal puppies around him. Yes. He's got like a bunch of robots that for some reason just love him and have like cuddled up around him in a very uncharacteristic robot way.
Yeah, and they turned on some of their extra processors, so they're like warm. They're aww, kind of glowing and keeping him warm.
They knew he needed some extra attention. So,
three robot dog nights.
Yeah.
And they're, one of them is ticking to sort of resemble, you know, the sound of his mother's beating heart, just aww, to soothe him.
They're trying real hard, these
they're treating
robots.
Him like a puppy.
That's really
he's
sweet.
Got one of the smaller ones up on his chest, because, like, it came up and was bumping into his hand during the night, and he just, like, okay.
Picked it up. Yeah. And Alina is already at work. She's already trying to put the pieces together, and the asset is sort of wandering around groggily with his cup of coffee. He hasn't quite finished yet, and he's not all the way awake yet. Alina, you get a message on your phone, and it's from Falcon. And it says, report, 10:26 p.m., and the date prior, yesterday. Known entities, Arcana and Puck, found with, reported Windshear, ? Please report to Falcon.
All of the blood is just drains out of my face. The asset comes over to me and I just show him the phone.
I was afraid this was going to happen, honestly. Your involvement with Striped Eagle has kind of put you guys in that weird, you're not quite vigilantes anymore and you've taken some of their resources.
But I've never even met her.
Is she not involved with your team?
Well, it's complicated and like, God, just.
So the asset is holding your phone and you get another, it buzzes and you get another text message and it's from John. And it just says, do you have Windshear?
Okay. I'm going to take my phone back.
Hey.
And I'm going to open the kitchen drawer right next to all of the spatulas and stuff, mm-hmm, that drawer. And I'm just going to pull out all of the, just our collection of burner phones. And I'm going to text John back saying, line compromised, Falcon involvement, Windshear is secure.
He's going to respond, we need to talk soon.
Listen, I left John, or John left in kind of a state last night. I really do need to go check on him.
Are you taking this one? Is he staying here? Should I lock him up? I'm not sure about the experiences you've had with this one, but I know current Winchy are not a delight.
Well, it looks like he's coming to us.
Great. I'm going to need more coffee. You want anything?
No, just maybe some clothes for this one.
All we've got is the poodle
scarf. Yes. So he's going to go upstairs to his closet real quick and grab a couple of like sweats, and come downstairs. And now we sort of see Ramon is slowly waking up, and it's clear that he doesn't realize where he is or what's going on or why he has robot dogs.
Yeah, we definitely gets that like slow wake up that at first he's just precious. like, shh, okay. Like, just, like, petting the robot dog on his chest, which isn't a dog.
No, it's just robots. It's
like, I'm picturing, like, a little square robot with, like, wheels on it, like, a little light. It's just, like, completely useless.
Not for a that dog.
I think we get a panel from his view that, like, shows one, like, way too close to his face. And he gets, like, a panicked jump up, like, pushes the robot down and looks around and is like, right. Okay. Yeah, right. Lots to do. And just like stands up. He's got the bodysuit like tied off at his waist because it's hard to sleep in one of those.
Yeah.
And like the undershirt on.
The acid just balls up a bunch of sweats and throws them at you. And it, like, as you're standing there all impressive. The yeah.
Yeah.
Right in the face. Put that on.
And he'll go find a place to be.
Bathrooms to your left.
Even better. He was getting ready to just like change behind something, but bathroom's better.
And we get a panel of him like gratefully taking the sweats and like wide-eyed looking around this big place still, because now it's in the daytime. It's like even more different.
Yeah.
And you're just like, this is a huge place.
Yeah. How do we know how tall the asset is?
He is super duper average.
He's super
height.
Okay.
So he is.
So he might be he's probably taller than Windshear.
Like 5'10 maybe.
But might not be quite as muscled as Windshear.
He's more.
Like lean?
Lean.
Okay.
Yeah.
So actually, it might fit him all right, just probably too tall for him. And so he's out, probably bare feet for now, because his feet, his shoes are his big, clunky hero boots.
Yeah.
But just like, you know, finds a place to settle down and wait to see what happens next.
And we get a knock on the receptor to your base. Instead of like an intercom, he's just like knocking on the intercom.
So I buzz him in, and the ground underneath him, trapdoors.
Nice.
And so he just kind of slips down and then sees the hallway, and I buzz him in from there.
Hey, Puck.
John.
Ramon stands up and walks over and just like has his hand out and says, I'm sorry. Things got really intense. But I think you and I are going to be working together.
Maybe.
I'm sorry about the... Sorry about the punch.
It's okay. It happens. And John just, like, he looks wrecked right now.
Yeah.
Like, he did not sleep last night. He, like, it was nighttime, and they were not sleeping, and they had not slept yet.
Yeah.
And then they went to daytime and did not sleep for, like, a good part of that day, and then came back, and he did not sleep yet.
Yeah.
So he's been awake for probably, like, 36 hours.
Yeah.
And he spent a lot of it like reading in books with this like creepy like lightning thing on the corner of his vision, and his just eyes are all bloodshot and dark, and he's got a couple big like bruises on his face from when he's been punched and stuff and slapped by Windshear a couple times.
Yeah, well.
And he just does not look great. And his clothes are all rumpled, and he kind of just like looks at Windshear, and he's like, yeah, things happen. Where's Alina?
And I walk in and I say, hey, Puck, how about we, just give us a minute.
Yeah, sure.
You look like shit.
Yeah, I feel not great. I'm really worried about everything. Like not in a general sense, but like in a specific sense. Like I think our everything is in danger. I spent last night, all night, reading about everything I could find about ending universes and the end and everything that might come here and hurt us. And he like glances back at Windshear and then he turns back to you and he says, I'm really worried that we brought him here and that's not a bad thing, but he still wants to go back there. And that is like, it's a back door into our universe that something else could follow. And I don't know, like, I don't want to like break.
I'm going to jump in here because he's grasping for words and just, just sit down. I think you need some coffee. We probably have some cereal. Get something in you. And we'll just have to talk about what comes next because there's no way he's going back.
Yeah. And John is kind of just like, he's nodding and he's nodding. And then you get to the end and he just shakes his head. And he's like, no, there's no time to think about this. And I'll just like a little bit too loudly enough that Windshear probably can hear. John is just like ranting about how like, no, he needs to know that he can't go back. He needs to know that he can't go back. He like, you need to show him or tell him, make him understand that like, that's not going to happen. And we're all in danger until he knows.
And we're going to get definitely a side-by-side panel of Windshear hearing all of this and processing it.
Can I take a powerful blow?
Yeah, I think that you should. That sounds great. I was leaving that open-ended to how you process.
I think taking a powerful blow will help me see how I process.
Yep, ooh, that makes sense.
Very powerful.
Very powerful.
Very blow.
Is that an 11?
Wow, that's much no, that's blow. A 10? It's a 9.
Okay, so on a 7 to 9, yeah. You choose one. You lash out verbally, provoke a teammate. You give ground, or you struggle past the pain and mark 2 conditions.
I have an idea for giving ground.
Sure, go ahead.
I think we see Windshear like stopping and just leaning back against the wall for a moment. Like he's clearly visibly staggered by this. Mm-hmm. And we get like, not thought bubble, because that sounds like, oh, like floaty, but like, you know, like just inner monologue going, all right, they need me to give it up. So I tell them I've given it up. But I am not stopping. I am finding them. And I am bringing them to a place that they can be safe. And like the giving ground is just him
showing them,
like showing the reader that like, yeah, like that he's making it easier for, he's making it easier for dark entities to get into this world by more or less opening himself up to it.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of like spiritually making himself available to forces that could get him back there in ways that might endanger the world.
Yeah, no matter the cost.
Yeah. Which cool. I know is kind of like a long-term opposition.
Mm, yeah, no, but I like that.
Okay.
Yeah, I like it. So you are giving the impression that this has washed over you and that you are realizing that it's true, but you have not done any such thing. And your inner motivation is still very much to get back there to them.
Yeah.
Got it. Yeah, that works for me.
So Ramon comes out and looks to the two of you and just like, he looks obviously shaken because he is shaken. And he goes, It's not there anymore?
I don't think so.
I'm so sorry.
I get it. These things happen. You made a choice. And I would have made a choice too. And if I'm here now, then I'm going to keep fighting against things that need fighting and protecting people that need protecting. Because that's what heroes do. That's what I do. That's what Windshear is.
And there's kind of a moment where John like releases a lot of tension from his shoulders. And he kind of sighs and he says, "And we'll do what we can. We'll help you find a place to live. I can help you. Like I understand the loss that you've. I think I understand. And I can help you remember them. I can help those. I can help keep those memories of them as fresh as the day that you made them. If that will help.
Listen, I think it would be best if you stayed with me a couple of days. I've actually got a few rooms that I can clear out and get you a bed. Just take it easy.
All right. I'll take a week, get out there. You know, there's books that need looking after. I'm sure I can find a job, or you know what? If it's
No. I don't think you understand. I think it would be best if you stayed here. I don't think that it's a good idea for you to be out in this world.
So yeah, and John will chime in. Yeah, going out could be complicated. You are alive in this world too, and you are not the same person.
I don't follow.
You are not the only Windshear
like
in the city. Okay. And the other Windshear.
He's a hero. Sort of. Yeah. Some days. Some days not so much.
Maybe we should set you up with a laptop.
And he's just like shaking his head. It's like we don't have laptops.
It's like a newspaper.
It's
got newspapers.
Moves.
Sounds real inconvenient.
In this moment of like the first real moment of levity we've had this entire arc, and you three are all, you two are laughing at this hilarious joke he just made that he doesn't know, and he's laughing because he's sort of uncomfortable. And you two are laughing, and that seems like a good thing to do right now. And we kind of pull back on this scene of you three in the base, laughing together for the first time. And this is the first moment where we see a team starting to emerge, including Windshear. And we flip the page, and we see the interior of an office. And we see a desk. And we see the top of the desk as if we're looking down at it from like a perspective of someone sitting at the desk. And we see a drawer being shut by a female hand, a dark-skinned female hand with perfectly manicured nails. And just before the drawer shuts, we see a framed black and white photo of Phyllis and Philip arm in arm. And then the drawer shuts.
Protean City Comics is a production of the Stop, Hack, and Roll podcast network. It is produced and edited by James Malloy. This episode was emceed by me, Elsbeth Denman, and I can be found on Twitter @TheCatOnTheWall. Puck is played by James Malloy, who can be found on Twitter at AndTheMeltdowns. Arcana is played by Jess Benini, who can be found on Twitter at HerlockHolmes1. Windshear is played by Brandon Leon Gambetta, who can be found on Twitter at Dr. Captain Cobalt. The introduction is voiced by Peter DiGilio. All music was composed by Jim Malloy. Masks, A New Generation, is a game by Brendan Conway and published by Magpie Games. This podcast is created thanks to the financial support of backers at patreon.com/stophackandroll. Join us on our Discord at discord.stophackandroll.com. Follow us on Twitter at Protean City and on Instagram at Protean City Comics. Subscribe to Protean City Comics on iTunes or anywhere podcasts are found. Join us next Wednesday to find out what thrilling adventures lie ahead.